Rose,
Mitch Moss,
and Polly Howard.
Welcome into the program. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Circa Resort and Casino is your spot in downtown Las Vegas. Coming up in about 5 minutes, Jeff Davis is going to make an appearance here on the program. Works here at Circa Sports. He's a dynamite on the NHL and on golf. We'll talk to him about that as well. Maybe a couple of Super Bowl prop questions with Jeff as well. Did you see this now? After Aaron Rodgers yesterday came out and he said, I'll dial it back a little bit, basically. I was disappointed in that.
Wow.
But the president and the CEO of the Packers, Mark Murphy, he talked to the media and he said he's going to be the MVP of the league, might have had his best year ever. He's our unquestioned leader, and we're not idiots, he said yesterday, Paul.
Okay. Yeah. Number one, it's not your decision. If he doesn't want to play for you, there's nothing you can do. You have to take your ball and go home. Number two, I would argue maybe you are. Okay? I mean, you have not helped him out.
It's very debatable.
In the draft or getting him a wide receiver, doing anything in free agency to help him. You haven't.
Fact.
And he's 37 years old, so I can understand his frustration. I'm a little bit disappointed he walked it back too, but we'll see. Now, what's interesting is on the day that this happens, maybe they're going to kiss and make up and everything will be teddy bears and ice cream in Green Bay. Then the Rams come out and say, we're looking at Goff and the breakdown of his performance this year.
Yep.
And could get up. Wentz bad enough. Who wants that contract? There's 4 years left on that albatross.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. But I would tell you, you might say maybe they're pot committed. I wouldn't mind that move if the Rams just say, okay, there's other people out here. No way. What can we get for him? I don't know.
I'm with you on that.
So as much as I don't like his game, Stafford's better than Goff. I can tell you that.
I think so, too.
I mean, there's a lot of guys that are going to be out there and in free agency. And maybe McVay's just sick and tired of being sick and tired. I mean, they won a playoff game, but it wasn't because of him. He didn't do much. I know he was playing injured, but he has regressed big time. I don't know what has happened with that guy.
I think the Packers are really screwing up this whole buy low, sell high thing. I mean, Rodgers had 26-4 last year, touchdown to INT ratio. This year, 48-5. If Rodgers plays the same year that he had last year, let's say they came back to the Pack this year and won like 9 games, and they had drafted Jordan Love. Like, he'd probably be on the hot seat in Green Bay, and the talk would be, well, we got to start to phase this guy out and get Love in there, and maybe we'll have, we'll look into offers for Aaron Rodgers. At that point, he'd be like, okay, he's 37, he's declining. He just came back and had the best year of his career. So they're freaking out. They could sell high right now on Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
I mean, the highest of any point in his career, wiping away, 10 years ago, whatever. But now all of a sudden he goes out, surprises everybody, plays like this again. They're like, nah, got to keep him no matter what.
I don't know what to do. I think it's ridiculous to take a quarterback in the first or second round. He doesn't play. And who knows when Love's going to get on the field.
And by the way, they traded up for him.
Yeah. And then showed it yesterday, the only guy who get on the field was Dylan in the draft class.
It's absolutely laughable.
They can't find their ass with both hands.
No.
That's how it's been. Again, this is the same organization that has two Super Bowls with Favre and Rodgers since 1992.
Yep. Jeff Davis next. We'll ask him about popular bets so far this week at the golf event at Torrey Pines.
This is Brent Musburger, and here is your VSiN action update. Now, here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
L.A. Lakers are 10-0 on the road this season. They'll visit the Philadelphia 76ers today as 2.5-point road favorites. Total 222.5. Philadelphia 12-6. Best record of the East, 9-1 at home this season. Bucks laying 6.5 in Tampa against Toronto. Raptors have won 5 of 7. Utah's won 9 straight. They're laying 4 at home against Dallas. College basketball, 25th ranked Louisville, a 1-point dog at Clemson. Number 16, Florida State, 11.5-point home favorite against Miami. In the NHL, the Blackhawks, $1.50 dog at Nashville, laying $1.80. VSiN has all of the Super Bowl betting angles covered. The best place to start is with our big game betting hub at VSiN.com/Super Bowl. While you're there, get the free big game betting guide with trends, strategies, and data to make the most of your betting decisions. Go to VSiN.com/Super Bowl, VSiN.com/Super Bowl. With your action update, I'm Mike Sennett.
Get the latest VSiN odds at VSIN.com. And remember, cash and tickets is what it's all about.
is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard. Jeff Davis joins the program now here from Circa Sports. He is excellent on the NHL and PGA, among other sports as well. Jeff, thanks for the time today. How are you?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. You've been in, let's actually begin with a little NFL chatter here today. You've been in this racket for a long time. What is this week like behind the book? Just coming up with all the props, the ideas, coming up with numbers for them. I love them. I love talking about them. I love betting them. But on the other side of the counter, this has got to be one humongous headache, I would think.
Yeah, that's a fair description, because the business of the week doesn't stop. The NBA's full go. The NHL's full go. College basketball's full go. So people don't forget to bet all these games all day. So you're equally as busy, and now you have to spend hours and hours coming up with essentially every player prop you can think of, and then all of the derivative, kind of more generic game style props. And it's just a huge workload on top of everything you're already doing. And it's important because you can't just hack up a number and fire up whatever you want, because we take bets on these things. Most regular season games, most regular season games, you take maybe a dime to them, but this is a Super Bowl. So I don't know exactly what we're going to take, but it's going to be more than a dime. So it's a big workload, and it's tough.
Oh, sure. And you can't get caught with your pants down. That's why this week is so interesting. And I find it fascinating that you see guys come in, and they have all their numbers and props made, and they'll come in and fire away if they think something's off. And the next thing you know, we just took three or four limit bets. We have to adjust it. And the other thing, some of this stuff has to give you a headache when you're trying to be so creative, and you look at this and you're putting what a golfer's going to shoot against touchdown passes or that kind of thing, and incorporate different sports as well.
Yeah, an example to that, last week we decided to put up, will Chad Henne throw a complete pass? Because we knew Mahomes' foot was kind of banged up. He had a concussion. If they had a big lead, maybe Henne comes in. So three of us made a number, and it took a while, and they were all kind of different. And it's the same in the Super Bowl, where you can come up with all kinds of numbers, and finding the right one is, it's so, so hard. Usually the bettors tell you, and when we open them, it's going to be kind of like when we open a Saturday morning or the Saturday college football on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock, the bet ticker just goes crazy. It's a feeding frenzy when we open those things. So the props aren't going to be any different.
Sure. Yeah. Good answer too. The bettors will let you know, because some of the stuff, I mean, how do you make a number on it? Right. Like some of the stuff you've seen in the past, like will a punt be downed inside the five, and a team, will a team, no team punt, stuff like that. I mean, who knows what you make a number at?
For sure. You look back a couple of years, the Patriots-Rams, when all season Todd Gurley was the workhorse. And then coming down the stretch, maybe week 14, week 15, he suddenly, you know, McVay didn't tell anyone what was going on, but he was getting five carries, seven carries. And then in the play, I want to say in the NFC Championship game, he had like 12 or 13, and you had no idea. Is he going to get it 18 times? Is he going to get it five times? It's really hard. You got to kind of find a number in the middle, move it aggressively so you get to the right number as fast as you can without taking four limit bets on one side.
So no kidding.
Good job. So your props are coming out, but you already have the squares out. And we talked about it the other day, and it was a huge success last year. How is that? Is that easy? Is that difficult to put together the numbers and the odds for the Circa squares?
It's definitely not easy, because we have four pools with 100 betting interests. So every at the end of every quarter, there are 10 numbers for each team, 0 through 9. And you're pricing every single one, and the people love it. You look at some of them, I think one of the ones that we priced, an enormous amount, 5,001, 10,001, whatever it was first quarter 9-9. And that actually hit in a game this year, in the Dallas-Seattle game, which when you think about it, 9-9 is nearly impossible in the first quarter, because there's not enough time for there to be six field goals. So there has to be a safety, a missed extra point, some kind of wonky stuff in the short period of time. So people bet the wild 10,001 squares. Yeah, they're nearly impossible, but hey, that's why they played a game.
I love all this stuff.
Yes.
A couple of years ago, I mean, the Rams to score exactly three points was what, 400 to 1? And there was a guy
that number was probably a bit exaggerated.
Well,
because, you know, a field goal is quite a possible outcome.
Yeah. No, you're spot on. Yeah. Hey, great job by you a couple of weeks ago. You had Kevin Na. I'm guessing that was a pretty good price. But these golf sweats, man, they deliver every single week, don't they?
The agony is something else. You have four or five, six guys. I want to say 2 weeks ago in Hawaii, there were 11 or 12 guys within two shots of the lead with 10, 12 holes left to play. It's nuts how one guy gets hot and makes three birdies in a row, or one guy makes a double, and it changes everything. And the golf sweat is indescribable, what the highs and lows of it, if you let it get to you.
Yep. So here we are the day before the Farmers Insurance. Who have been the popular bets so far here at Circa for this week?
Sungjae Im has taken a little bit of interest. He's a guy, he seems to play every week. His workload is crazy. He's in like every single field. But the guy hits it as good as just about anyone. He's one of the best. He doesn't get talked about as one of the best drivers of the golf ball, but I want to say he's in the top 15 in total driving. He's had some interest at the window. And this is a phenomenal field this week. Rahm is in, Rory is in, Xander Schauffele is in. And you can make the case for and against a lot of these guys. You take a look at Rahm, who's played here four times, and he has a win, a second, a fifth, which is incredible. But it's only his second event playing new clubs. Who knows how that's going to go? Rory has two top fives and two tries here, but he gagged it pretty good on Sunday in Dubai, and now he flies in from Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
Schauffele's played this tournament five times. He's missed four cuts. So you might be able to go down the board a bit this week. I can't possibly recommend this guy on top because he refuses to finish first in the golf tournament. Tony Finau played here six times, five top 20s, three top sixes. If you have access to top 10s and top 20 type markets, he seems like a really good fit. He's in good form. He's really consistent, plays the Poa greens very well. He's interesting in the derivative type or the matchup type market.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy that further down the board, it seems to be interesting is Billy Horschel. It doesn't get talked about very often week to week, but classy guy. He's won the FedEx Cup. He's played here a bunch, has a couple of top 10s, has a couple of top 7s in his last three outs. And it's fine, 55, 60 to 1. You can do a lot worse in this field at that price on a guy that has some course form. And course form matters here. It doesn't matter all that often, but you go to courses like Augusta, or in this case, Torrey Pines. Snedeker's won this event multiple times. Day has won it twice. Tiger's won it three or four times. And you look back, and guys who have won, they've played well here in the past. So I think there has to be some semblance of success on this course if you're going to come out on top this week.
Good discussion with Jeff Davis, assistant sportsbook manager here at Circa. Follow the money, Paulie and Mitch Veasan. To hockey now, and so far so good with a couple calls that you had. You were high on this Montreal team. Some books, you said, fell asleep and had 50 to 1. If this offense continues, watch out. And Montreal's off to a good start. And also, you also said Ottawa could be awful. Well, since they beat Toronto, they've lost five in a row now, and Murray's been a sieve, and they're giving up a ton of goals.
Yeah, that game against Vancouver last night was an embarrassment because Vancouver is probably the team I've downgraded the most since the start of the season. They are another team that I don't want to put it on the goaltending because they just give up chance after chance after chance. And it's what happens in this sport when you have to dress 18 and play 18 skaters every night. When you only have five or six that are legitimately good players, the rest of the guys they run out there are basically break-even war-type players or negative war-type players. And you can't play 35 minutes in this game. So it's just going to catch up to teams like that. And Ottawa, man, that Murray looks not remotely like the guy who won a Stanley Cup and signed a big contract in Pittsburgh. I kind of think they were right moving on from him because it doesn't really seem to be all that different. Vancouver just kind of ran them over the other night. It was shocking to some extent in terms that it was Vancouver that did it. Montreal, man, that team can skate. They just four lines nonstop up and down the ice. This Nick Suzuki looks, boy, he looks good. Josh Anderson looks like the Josh Anderson that came in the league his rookie year with Columbus. Doesn't have to deal with Tortorella anymore. New system. He looks like a new person out there. This team's going to be around. They're not going anywhere. They're going to be a problem if they, like you said, Paul, if they keep they keep scoring goals, look out.
Jeff, do you think the Golden Knights are one day going to regret that trade with Suzuki involved?
I don't think so, because Pacioretty's essentially their best offensive player. The guy's turned into the Pacioretty of 7-8 years ago at the beginning of his career in Montreal, scoring goals at will. He's all over the ice. Him, Stone, and Stevenson has been an incredible line. They gave up a ton to get Pacioretty. Suzuki, Thomas Tatar, who's actually a really good hockey player, and he gets a bad rap around here because I don't know what happened, but he just didn't fit in. He was no good when he got here, but he was good in Detroit, and I think he led the Montreal in points last year. So those two guys and some picks is a lot, but if Vegas can actually win the Stanley Cup with Pacioretty, which I think is possible, I think it's a win-win trade. I mean, you look at what Montreal got. It's a huge win for Montreal, but this feels like a trade that both teams can say that they got what they kind of paid for, and both are succeeding after making the trade. So I don't think there can be any regrets.
Any other teams with a big up, with a small to large upgrade or downgrade?
I keep trying to downgrade the Rangers and I can't, because I watch these games and they look like they're the best side every night and they just don't win. They played Pittsburgh twice, the previous series, and they were the better team for most of the game both times, and they just didn't get it done. And last night against Buffalo, they kind of started a bit stale and were incredible in the third period and couldn't get the puck by Ullmark. And they've been kind of a frustrating outfit in that they should be good, and or at least competitive good, and they're kind of just not winning any of these games. And I don't know how long it's going to last, or it's tough in the shortened season, because if you get buried really fast, you're going to have to go on a run like the Blues did a few years ago to make the playoffs. So time might be running out for this this Rangers team. Another team's a bit interesting. Minnesota Wild, a little bit pesky. Talbot going down hurts them a bit. Kakinen has looked shaky at best in net, but they're really controlling the play. They're not giving up very much. This Kaprizov kid looks like he might be the real deal. I'm keeping my eye on the Wild as a team that has a higher ceiling than people might think, but the goaltending has a chance to hold that team back.
Yeah. Very good. Great spot today, Jeff. Love talking to you. Thanks so much for waking up early and coming on the show. We appreciate that.
You got it, guys. We'll talk soon.
Yep. All right.
There
fun
you go.
Discussion.
Jeff
and and here come the Bruins now too. And here comes the offense. And what I can't believe what Washington's doing. You know, with guys out and Ovechkin's out and backup goalies and still finding a way. That's a result surprised me last night, that they beat Varlamov and they held the Islanders in check.
I'm with you.
But he's also right about Vancouver, though. I mean, how many sevens have we seen? What do you put? 7-1 to the over. And it's not, is it the goal? No, it's the chances and what they're giving up.
That's exactly right.
And how bad Ottawa's been.
Ooh. It's basically like one right after another. And he brought up a good point in the golf as well. You can't really recommend Tony Finau. He refuses to win. I bet him live last week. I thought I got a good number on him. I want to say it was 550 or 6-1. Right, he's like a shot and a half back, two shots back, whatever. That's a typical Tony Finau tournament last week.
That seemed like a typical Rory McIlroy Sunday performance too. I think he had the leader, was tied.
Oh, he did, going in.
Hatton was fantastic with the putter.
Yeah, it made everything.
And then Rory was playing military golf off the tee. And it was just, yeah. Good info on Schauffele. I agree with him. How about Koepka? Koepka is 42-1. Day's 42-1 here. Scott's 52. Watson's 45.
Wow.
Is Ricky Fowler finished? 65-1. When's the last time we talked about? It's been a while since we talked about Ricky Fowler.
It's funny you brought that up. He's the comparison in my head that I thought of when he was going down that road with Finau, because it was like Fowler. He's going to break loose at some point, right? He's going to snap this drought. He's going to win a major. And then eventually, after you bet on him like 5-6 times, whatever it is, you're like, I can't possibly go to the well with him anymore. Sorry. I can't.
Take emotion out of it. Put the feelings to the side. Have you watched the Tiger special yet?
I will get to this. I got so much. I've heard The Rock tweeted this out this week or put it on Instagram. He said, you got to watch Operation Odessa on Netflix. That's top of my list. Evidently, that's like a Cocaine Cowboys type of deal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in Florida. He said it's unbelievable. So that one is actually on top of my list. Then I'm going to watch the Tiger documentary. But it'll happen this week.
So he's hanging out with Rachel Yucatel. And she's saying, you know, this is hard for me because we spend 3 days together and then I leave you and I don't know what I'm going to see. He goes, put your feelings to the side. Get a I can't say that word.
Compartmentalize?
Yeah. And that's why he was such a great golfer. And he's got 12 girls on the side and that's okay. It's time to focus and play golf. That's it. 4 days. No one can beat me. I'm the best. And then going back and okay, I'll fly in. What are you up to? Let's hang out.
Pretty good mental toughness. Once he gets on the golf course, like all of that block it all up. Bam.
Yeah.
It never enters his brain for a second.
But his dad taught him. His dad used to yell at him, and his dad used to walk in front of him when he was putting. Like, you got to be able to handle
this.
That's right. After a couple years, he was just used to it. You know, dad's walking right in front of me when I'm trying to make a putt.
Yep. Super Bowl props that are on the betting board coming up in about 15 minutes. Some NHL next here on Follow the Money.
Signed up with Bet Rivers yet? Now's the time. Bet Rivers Sportsbook has a great deal on the big game. They're giving you a chance to unlock more than $500 in bonuses when you make your first deposit with the code BIGGAME500. You must deposit at least $100 and it must be your first deposit on the site to be eligible. Visit the Bet Rivers site of your home state for the promotion details. It's valid in Colorado, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Virginia, Michigan, and Pennsylvania. Also available at Play Sugar House in New Jersey. Shame on me. I've watched this. It's unbelievable. Operation Odessa.
Oh, you
Tarzan.
Have? Okay.
Yeah, Tarzan. The Russian. You'll watch the first 3 minutes of this and say, what the hell is going on? They did what? So they tried to sell the Colombians a Russian submarine smuggling drugs?
Okay, I'm in.
It's a wild tale of how you'll love Tarzan. How Tarzan, a Miami playboy and a Cuban spy, came to run Miami for almost a decade thanks to their booming cocaine enterprise and the sophisticated use of boats and helicopters in trafficking the drugs. Their goal, outsmart the DEA, the Cali cartel, and the Russian mob to collect the biggest score of their lives.
Okay, how do I not watch that as soon as I get home today?
Tarzan, anything that comes to your head in America, you can do. Oh, it's crazy.
And his name is Tarzan.
That's crazy.
Come on, you can't beat this.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I saw him post that, and I read the comments, right. And I'm like, I've never heard of this before.
I don't know how I came across it. Yeah, I was on Netflix one day. You just get lost in there.
Yeah.
There's so much stuff, and then you just come across, oh, was it so good. I'm telling you, the first 3 minutes, you'll be like, what?
Really?
They're trying to work out. They're selling he's talking to the Russians about getting a submarine so they can smuggle drugs with the Cali cartel. Or
oh, jeez.
The stuff they pull off. You know, the other thing, too, everyone's been betting, a lot of people have been betting Brady once it was announced, before it was announced, running through the playoffs here, you know, and sometimes it's just meant to be. And sometimes, you know, you ever get that feeling of people say, wow, it's just meant to be. He's coming back. He goes to Tampa. He wins the Super Bowl. I mean, some of that. And sometimes maybe it's not to be. But, what's going on here?
Did you see that tweet that I sent over the other day? I don't know who this guy is. He's got like 2.2 million followers. Sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
He just sent out a tweet. I thought it was brilliant. He's like, so this Tom Brady guy literally goes, I'm going to pick a random team and say, hey, guys, you want to go to the Super Bowl?
That's right. Yeah.
That's what
it's
happened.
That easy for him, right? Breeze, Rodgers, 1. Marino, 0. Or, you know, doesn't have one, but Marino been to 1 Super Bowl. Brady, 10. 19 years as a starter. Been to a Super Bowl in 10 of them. Curry from 3, 43%. Tom, 53%.
Didn't you kind of want Rodgers or Mahomes this year?
Yeah, but I'm good with this. It didn't matter. I mean, Buffalo would have been a great story, but still, I'd still prefer Kansas City. I mean, what this kid is doing is ridiculous. And who knows? This might be the next Brady. I mean, to think he's...
Oh, we got to play the Mad Dog.
He's.
Did you listen to this?
I didn't. I heard about it.
Play the Mad Dog.
Yeah, I know. Back after this. One guy. We found one guy who was not excited about the Super Bowl matchup. How are you not excited about this matchup?
We'll play that later on in the show.
I don't get it. But I tell you one thing I don't care about is who gets in the Baseball Hall of Fame. And that drives him bananas. And I love him. He's been on the show many times. He's the best. But that's as far as I don't care. The Curt Schilling business, the Bonds, the Clown. Okay, so you go to hell. So what? You cheated. I don't care.
Yeah.
You're not going to get in, and you're not even close. Now, putting some of these other guys in, you know, well, Harold Baines got in and some of this other business, but it's just, I don't know why people get so bent out of shape about it. The voters are in a tough spot based on what these guys have said and done and cheated and all this other. So I really don't care about who gets in and who doesn't get in. And why should I care when Clemens says, I don't give a rat's ass? That's a quote about Clemens.
Yeah, and then Schilling told him to take my name off the list next year.
Yeah. Curt Schilling's not a Hall of Famer.
I don't think so either. I mean,
he's not.
I don't. Yeah. Why are people up in arms about this?
He's a great big game pitcher.
Yeah, he was.
And what he did in Boston, phenomenal. But he wasn't a Hall of Famer. Now, I would go to war for Barry Bonds because he was the best player in the game and winning awards when he was skinny in Pittsburgh. But Scott Rowland, Billy Wagner, Vizquel. I mean, come on.
I'll tell you one guy that should be in is Andrew Jones. That guy should be in the Hall of Fame. He was he was an unbelievable center fielder.
Yeah.
And he was a great hitter. But then it comes down to, I mean, people are just like, well, was he on the up and up? I have no idea. But I would say yes to him. I would say absolutely yes to Bonds. And by the way, Bud Selig's in the Hall of Fame. So if that guy's going to be in, and by the way, he turned a blind eye to this entire thing until like 2004. Didn't care. Never mattered. In fact, they were probably encouraging the players to go out there and do whatever they wanted with their bodies. And that guy gets in the Hall of Fame. Live today from the OddsTrader.com studio here at Circa Resort at Casino. OddsTrader.com. Download the free OddsTrader app right now. Start winning with up to the second info that you need. Real-time bet tracking, in-game tracking tools. You can compare sportsbook sign-up bonuses all at OddsTrader.com. I lied about the hockey. We'll do that later on, along with the Mad Dog audio coming up. Super Bowl props that are available right now to bets. Either team not to punt, that's up. Onside kick recovery, a scoreless quarter,
yes, yes.
The doink prop, coming up next.
Racing fan, First Bet's the place for you. Wagering on races at over 300 tracks, AI-assisted picks, easiest way to bet on your favorite sports, secure payments, great customer service, and a reliable website, all brought to you by ExpressBet. Promo code Vegas100 today. Sign up and get the $100 match bonus on your first deposit. First.com/bet/Vegas100 for details. Promo code Vegas100. All right, let's go. Prop time, baby, and creative ones. Let's go.
I got lost in the DraftKings app last night for a couple of hours. Man, they had a lot of props already available. So they have all the touchdown scores up already. First, last, anytime. Brady Mahomes touchdown passes to score 2+ touchdowns, to score 3+ touchdowns.
I have found a prop I don't like. I don't like first touchdown with will they win the game. At least I wouldn't bet that.
To me is not.
No, I don't want to sit and wait. If I have the guy to score the first touchdown, you know, bleep you, pay me.
Exactly right.
I mean, go to Goodfellas. I don't want to say I got to wait and see if I win the game. I know there's a difference in prices, but that I would never bet that.
No, I would not recommend betting that at all. It's too difficult to pull off. Total players to attempt a pass. It's over 2.5 plus 140. Under is minus 177. That's just
there
to attempt a pass. To complete a pass, over 2.5 is plus 215. Who's that third person going to be?
Didn't Pittsburgh use Brown? Didn't Brown throw a pass before?
I have to go back and look at his career stats. I know they did with Antoine Randle a long time ago. Like, that was part of the overall game plan. I had him, by the way. I had that in the Super Bowl against the Lions. That never came in. And I think it was Antoine Randle throw a pass, catch a pass, and run the football?
Against Seattle, you mean?
Two of them came in. In Detroit against Seattle, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, but that was a creative one. First Tampa Bay kickoff to result in a touchback. Yes, minus $4. No, plus 290.
Wow.
Chiefs touchback. We got a good tweet on this, and I we were talking about a little bit earlier on. I did not look at the overall percentages yet. This is from at MLDogs on Twitter. Chiefs number 5 in touchback percentage at 74.2%. Buccaneers number 2 at 84.2%. So he thinks the minus $3 plus 230 or whatever is probably an accurate number. Okay.
Well, you also they better boom it out of the end zone. You have the angle where it's, hey, I'm going to start this game off with a bang, and I'm so juiced up, jacked up, I'm bringing it out.
Yep. Will either team successfully recover an onside kick attempt at DraftKings? The yes is 25-1.
Wow, there we go. All right. Very difficult. Difficult, not impossible, like Hyman Roth at the airport, but it happened last week. Good.
I just want to find onside kick attempt. Successful is, you know, another animal altogether.
Okay.
How about this? Will any field goal or extra point attempt hit the uprights or crossbar?
Beautiful.
The yes is 4-1. The no is minus 625.
There it is. Beautiful. Good job, John.
And this is why Super Bowl, I mean, watching it in a public place, in a sports book, whatever, is so awesome. Because if that comes in, you know the entire public is going to be on the yes. And the roars you're going to get from a doink in the Super Bowl will be deafening for like 10 seconds.
And I like the yes. That was happening every week.
Now, you can bet these.
I don't know what the right odds are, but it's probably supposed to be higher than that, but obviously, but still.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good sweat.
Will either team miss a field goal attempt?
Oh.
The yes is even money. Oh. No minus 124.
Suck up had issues.
Oh, Bucker's good for one right away.
Yes, he is.
You can also bet a miss extra point. The yes is plus 230, minus 305 on the no.
And put one of them up the upright. Kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Now, I remember this was at CG Technology a couple years ago. There was a guy who came in and bet like $100,000. I don't know what he won. Probably a cup of coffee. There was a guy who bet $100,000. No, the opening kickoff will not be returned for a touchdown. They had that up.
Is that right?
They have 70-1. Yes, but there was a no offered at one book, and the guy laid it.
Well, I wish the no's were offered on all of this stuff. That's amazing. How about they have this? We talked about this earlier in the week. A punt to be down inside the 5.
There you go.
The yes is plus 355. The no minus $5.
Yeah. William Mills had that for a couple years.
And this is very good. Either team not to punt. I wanted this in the national title game with Bama and Ohio State. The yes is 6-1. How many times? Matt, can you look that up? How many times did the Chiefs punt last week? I think it was... I'm not going to guess. It was a very small number, if any at all. But the yes on that is 6-1. And Paulie, with a Tom Brady team, and we talked about that game against Carolina. It's an outlier. We get it, but it happened twice in that game, a scoreless quarter. How he's been so, they've been incapable of scoring a lot of points as with him as a quarterback, with the Patriots winning in the first quarter. Any quarter to end scoreless, yes is 7-1. No is more than minus $16.
And we just got a text. Antonio Brown threw a pass in the 2018 playoffs with Pittsburgh. There you go. And the Chiefs punted once last week.
Yeah.
There you go. Thanks, Matt. And thanks to Ian for the text.
And remember how
there's your guy. You wanted your guy? There's your guy. He's left-handed too, I believe?
Yeah.
There's another one. Okay. You won't be surprised. Come around, end around. There you go. There's your guy, Brown. You wanted a guy? You got a guy. I gave you a name.
And then that could knock out the Philly special, too. Well, people are asking for that. I don't know how you'd put that up because of the lingo and everything involved, but I love it. Very creative. A lot of fun.
How about, did you do this? Will an offensive lineman score a touchdown? 20-1. Will an offensive or defensive lineman score a touchdown? 8-1. These are at DraftKings.
Okay.
This is, that's great. And I like I like the winning margin. Will Kansas City win by 13-18? Plus 650. Will Tampa win by between 1 and 6 points, plus 325? Will Tampa win between 13 and 18, 12-1? What did Seattle do to Denver that year? 43-8 or something?
Yeah.
What was what's 35 or more? 90-1, if that would happen. If the school's out. Kansas City to win between 37 and 43 or more is 120-1 for the Chiefs and 225-1 for the Buccaneers. Maybe we should check it out again. A team score 3 points.
I think the Seahawks game was like 22-0 at halftime. And then Percy Harvin
what
score.
What do we get? Returns the kickoff. And then how it started.
Oh.
How about how many people were tweeting with the Steeler Brown? Has a playoff game ever started like that before? Remember the bad snap?
Yes.
I think remember the Seattle Denver Super Bowl? Right over Manning's head. Safety. What was that, 101? Place was going crazy. Yeah. First score of the game, safety was like 101.
Yep. Didn't Kevin Nealon used to be a character on SNL called Mr. Short-Term Memory Loss or something like that? It's remarkable. How would you forget that? It happened 5-6 years ago in the Super Bowl. Has it ever happened before? That long ago, in fact.
Has a playoff game started like that before?
God.
That was a good one. All right. Yeah. Good. I'll get on. I'll jump on that. Brown.
Okay.
Why not?
Maybe you can find that somewhere. Will Antonio Brown throw a pass?
Yeah, what else are they going to do? They got 2 weeks to practice for the game. I mean, they got to take a trickeration.
Indy Jeff on the program next. He'll break down his best golf bets for the week coming up. On DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports. Download the app, use the promo code VSTIN when you sign up to compete for cash prizes each week. Don't wait, sign up now, and new customers get a deposit bonus up to $500. That's code VSTIN when you sign up. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Go check out their website for all the details. It's DraftKings.com/sportsbook. Indy Jeff joins the program now, as he does every single Wednesday. We'll try to get some winners this week at the Farmers Insurance at Torrey Pines. Before we get into that tournament, Jeff, first of all, thanks for the time. We love having you on. Let's go back to last week, and again, with the podcast and the text messaging that you send out to people that want to get involved. You tipped off Cantlay at 22-1 live, like going into the final day, and he was, I guess you could say maybe in the mix, but he's not exactly at the top of the leaderboard at that point. Why'd you like him? And then, my God, he gives you like one of the best performances of all time, but he still can't win.
Oh, guys, thanks for having me. And it was crazy. I like Cantlay because he was within striking distance, and the weather was supposed to be windy and bad that day. So I was expecting some hijinks. And when you take a player of that caliber at that number, not that far back, there, anything can happen. And honestly, as the weather was perfect, all Cantlay did was go out and shoot the course record.
Yeah, right.
And then we're sitting there. He's in the clubhouse with the clubhouse tied for the clubhouse lead. And you got Siwoo Kim, who can't putt to save his life, with an 18-foot putt on 17. I'm like, there's no way he makes this. Of course, Siwoo drains it and goes on. But we were super live all the way down to 17. There's some great cash out opportunities too. I know a bunch of people text me that they cashed out, so still got 11-1 on Cantlay. So that's the fun part, and that's why the text messaging stuff is so great.
Yep.
Because as we make it live and play best, we can send them out to people, and everybody can adjust. And what might not be a value on Wednesday or Thursday certainly can end up as one on Sunday.
Great job. Yep. And the reason you got to get the text message at Cutmaker Jeff on Twitter, and also check out the podcast. But the cat, you're right, he had the lead. He was in the clubhouse with the lead. So there was a cash-out option available as well. All right, tell us about Torrey Pines here in the Farmers Insurance Open and the course, please.
Sure. So Torrey Pines is one of the most iconic golf courses in the U.S. The guys play 3 rounds on the south course, which is substantially longer than the north course, and scoring is really interesting. There are 7 holes with a birdie rate of over 15%, and there are 12 holes with a bogey rate of over 15%. Mm. So you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out you've got to be able to hit it a long way and avoid bogeys, which means I don't expect scoring to be quite as crazy as it has been the past few weeks. I think a 15 or 20 to under wins here.
Okay. And now we were just talking about this. Rahm here is plus 650. And Rory's ridiculously low as well. I think you got to throw these guys out because they're so low. And maybe are you looking again at your guy who cashed a couple weeks ago with Harris English?
Yeah, absolutely, Paulie. And it's really hard to pick a winner aside from the clear favorite. I mean, John Rahm is priced crazy low, as you mentioned, as is Rory, for good reason. I can make a strong case for Rahm to win the tournament, but I can't bet him at these prices against a field this talented. Xander grades out incredibly well here, and I can't blame someone who plays him, but he's missed four of the last five cuts here. Tony Finau has played great here, but I'm going to ask you guys, do you want a Tony Finau ticket going down the stretch on Sunday? Yeah. I don't.
Yeah. I can't do it. Same thing with
Hideki. Hideki plays great here. I don't want a Hideki ticket coming down the stretch on Sunday. And Hovland is not a great putter, and this is his worst putting surface. Jason Day has played well here. But you certainly don't know what you're getting from Jason Day. I'm not on Scottie Scheffler this week, and nobody loves Koepka more than me, but he's going through all kinds of changes with his game, so I can't play him. Guys, I just mentioned 9 of the 12 guys who make up the lowest sides on the board. Means we're getting some really good prices on guys that we like. And, Paulie, you mentioned it. Harris English leads the way, and the case for him is very, very compelling. He's playing as well as anyone right now, and he has two top 10 finishes here, including a second. He grades out 6th in my short-term model and 1st in my long-term model. His long irons, period, are going to be important this week. English is 4th in the field and approaches for over 200 yards. And his last 50 rounds, he's 2nd in birdies gained and 3rd in bogey avoidance. That is tied for number 1 in the field across those two categories. And in his last 50 rounds, he's 3rd in the field in total strokes gained, 3rd in the field in strokes gained putting. We all know that putting can run hot and cold, but I'll ride with English, who has gained strokes putting in 5 straight tournaments. We know he treated us well a few weeks ago. I'm still hoping he's got some white lightning left in that bottle.
Okay, so I'm guessing that's your favorite guy to win it outright. Let's go down the board then a little bit. Maybe some more mid-tier guys that are longer shots to win it here, Jeff, this week.
Sure. Another guy who I'm going to back again, and I backed him quite often, did last week. It didn't work out. But Patrick Reed at 25-1. Reed has the best game around the greens on tour and putts really well on Poa greens that we have here. He hits the ball far enough to compete with the big boys, so it really comes down to his approach game. And Reed's another guy who doesn't make many bogeys thanks to his great putting. Every year he plays here, he gets better. He's gone from 39th to 23rd to 13th to 6th in his 4 visits here, and he's never missed a cut. 25-1 is a great price on Patrick Reed. And a guy that I love, I know you love him, Mitch, is Matthew Wolf. He's 34-1 this week. Mm-hmm. He finished 2nd in the U.S. Open this year where you had to play it long, and there's long rough. Mm-hmm. We're going to have that again this week. He's 2nd in the field in ball striking, 2nd in approach over his last 50 rounds. We know he can crush it. The main thing we worry about with Wolf is his chipping. He can't chip to save his life. But this is his best putting surface. So the hope here is that his irons are dialed in enough that he doesn't have to do much around the greens. And if the putter gets hot, there's no reason that Wolf, who finished 21st here last year, can't win this tournament.
Cutmaker Jeff on Twitter, Cutmaker Podcast. Jeff Seeley, our guest for All the Money, Paulie and Mitch. Has been great so far on the show. Rough week last week, but he'll bounce back. Also famous now, hanging out with the Veepcast in his spare time. How about some longer shots and matchups?
Guys, a couple of long shots. I think there are a ton of guys with value in the 45-70-1 range. I could probably go on about 6 or 7 and make a case. But 2 I really like that I'll mention. I don't necessarily think that Ryan Palmer, who's 55-1 on DraftKings, is going to win, but he's a great top 10 play at 5-1. He can rack up birdies. He ranks 9th in the field in birdies gained. He's long off the tee, and his approach from over 200 yards is very strong. He's playing some of the best golf of his career right now. Ryan Palmer's definitely in play for me as a top 10 at 5-1 or a top 20 play. And then lastly, in the horses for courses category section of the program, we come to Bubba Watson. Bubba is every year people love Bubba on Bubba courses. He's 50-1 this week. So he's another guy who I don't necessarily think is going to win, but he will play. He'll likely play very well. He'll likely be in the hunt, and he's plus 450 for top 10. He's not a strong putter. but he did gain 4 strokes putting here last year, and Poe is his best putting surface. His finishes here in his last 5 tournaments are 6th, 23rd, 13th, and he got a win. He also missed the cut, but I think top 20 at plus 175 or better and a top 10 at plus 450 feels like really nice bets on Bubba.
And a couple of matchups, please.
Sure, guys. I like John Rahm. We mentioned John Rahm early. John Rahm minus 150 over Tony Finau. Again, Finau has played great here. I think Rahm's that much better. I'm actually going to play a guy who I never bet on, but Phil Mickelson at plus money this week against Sepp Straka. Phil, obviously, is a California guy, played well at Torrey Pines. If he doesn't start gambling all the time off the tee, then I think Phil's live. And I hate to say it, but I'm fading my boy Koepka this week. I mentioned how much I love Harris English. Harris English at 140 over Koepka, I think, is another valuable play.
Tell people about the text messages and the podcast.
Sure, guys. We're at Cutmaker Pod on Twitter. Last week, we talked with my buddy Tim Simons about the tournament last week. We're going to have him on again soon. So we're going to be doing more tournament updates on the podcast, Cutmaker Pod. And then the text messages. Every Wednesday, we send out all our plays via text. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you get text on each round, head-to-head matchups, and live in-play outrights we're making. And there's a ton of value on those. It's a lot of fun, and people are doing well with it. So we appreciate it, and we'll keep going.
Hey, Jeff, that was an A-plus breakdown. I'm putting positive vibes out there this week. I feel it for you coming in this week. I think you're going to nail these bets, man. Great job.
Thanks, boys.
Yep, right. Take care.
Talk to you next week.
Boy,
very
just
good.
Runs through everything like that.
Yep. Man, the Cantlay, even though the picks weren't that good last week, the Cantlay thing. Look at that. Imagine you tell you, hey, I guess guy's 22-1. He's way back, but I got a feeling. And he shoots the course record. I forgot about the cash out option. I mean, sure.
We forget about it because we don't have it.
The guy had the lead in the clubhouse. He had a 1-shot lead. I think Kim had 2 holes left. We have another. We'll do this on the other side. We'll talk to Mike Palm. We also have another player who has thrown some passes this year. Whose could that guy be? I gave you Brown. We got a couple good feedback on a Kansas City player. More ideas for props. Will there be a turnover in the red zone? And then, you know, we've heard, will Mahomes throw a pass left-handed? Well, how about what he's been doing here with the underhand business? He's been doing that a couple times.
Yeah, but how would you grade that out, though?
What are you talking about? With the box score again?
No, I'm talking about the language. Because then what if he goes sidearm? And it's a shuffle pass. And then
underhand looks like?
No, I know that, but I mean, I'm trying to like put myself in the shoes.
I'm talking not Nevada. This is outside of Nevada.
Yeah,
you have to be graded by a box score.
I bet you he's done that. I know he's done that 4 or 5 times this year.
And they're saying it was Demi Lovato last year.
That's right.
She was coming back after.
She was nervous.
Yeah, because she went way like 230 in rehearsal.
Yes, correct.
And then way under when she actually did it. It was all over the place.
Yep. And so the weekends at halftime.
Yeah.
I think I have this right. Because of the pandemic, I don't think he's toured since like 2018 to get an idea of what song he's played first and stuff like that.
Well, you can't get away from Blinding Lights. It's everywhere.
That's it.
He's got to lead with, that's got to be his open. That or Enter Sandman.
God, is he overplayed. I like him.
Yeah. It's a nonstop.
Nonstop. Yep. Wednesdays with the Maestro, Mike Palm, coming up.